everyone, and welcome to this, the third and final episode of our Advent podcast series. If you haven't heard the earlier episodes, my name is Alison Ingram. I'm the Ordinand at St. Mary's in Hanwell. We've been running this podcast series alongside the sermons from our Sunday services, are available online on the St. Mary's website. Please do catch up on these if you haven't had a chance to listen already. The sermon series focuses on different passages that complement the readings from Isaiah we've been working through in these sessions. I hope that the podcasts so far have provided you with the opportunity to pause, spend some time reflecting on these beautiful passages of Scripture, speaking to God, listening to what He is saying to you in this Advent season. As usual, we'll start with a time of prayer, into Scripture and reflection, followed by a time of silence and prayer. After that, a few friends from St. Mary's will have a time of discussion about the reflection, what it might mean for us. We come to a time of prayer now, so you might like to put both feet on the floor, close your eyes and open your hands, just as a sign of being open to God. As we inhale, we pray, "The Lord is." And we exhale, "My strength and my song." We inhale, "The Lord is." And exhale, "My strength and my song." Inhale, "The Lord is." And exhale, "My strength and my song." So let's remain in that open posture to God as I hand over to Andrew to continue with our reading and our reflection.
Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 4. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, and give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display His glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins, they shall raise up the former devastations, they shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Good news is something that we all need to hear, though it seems painfully out of fashion in modern media nowadays. Here in Isaiah, we hear the ultimate good news, hope. Hope of what God can and will do in your life if we ask. These words were first spoken to people living in exile, far from home and living under another country's rules and ways of life, longing for restoration on so many levels. And the hope contained in these verses from Isaiah, of course, is as true for us today as it was back then. Yes, the context is different, but the truth is not. You see, we might all find ourselves oppressed by the busy or stressed narrative of 21st century living. We might be held captive and need liberating to all sorts of patterns of addiction and behaviour in our lives, from the more obvious sources and substances, but also in a myriad of smaller ways, how we act. We can be captive to a bad temper, or fear of missing out, or comparing ourselves to others, or our mobile phones and social media. We will all experience times of mourning and sadness. And here, God promises to provide for us and ultimately bring us through from mourning and ashes and faint spirits to a place of garlands of flowers, gladness and praise. God can transform your situation and life so deeply that the change is reflected for all to see like a mighty forest of oak trees. He can rebuild and restore any and all areas of our lives that may have been destroyed. Of course, that hope is embodied in Jesus, who applies these words from Isaiah directly to himself in Luke chapter 4. He stands in the synagogue, reads out the scripture, and then he says, "I am the one these words are about. I will do these things in people's lives." Isaiah 61 is what the hope that Jesus brings looks like. It looks like transformation in your life. Of course, it's not only what Jesus does, it's what we are called to do with him as people who have access to that same anointing Holy Spirit. These words from Isaiah have launched many a vocation and calling across the centuries. I wonder how this Advent might God be anointing and calling you to become someone who is sent to bring good news and hope to others. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, and give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins, they shall raise up the former devastations, they shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. We take now a time of silent prayer and reflection. Maybe you'd like to offer up to God the things that have stood out to you from this passage. Perhaps there is a single word or a phrase that might be God calling you to something new. We pray. Watchful at all times, let us pray for strength to stand with confidence before our Maker and Redeemer, that God may bring in his kingdom with justice and mercy, Let us pray to the Lord. That God may establish among the nations his scepter of righteousness. Let us pray to the Lord. That we may seek Christ in the scriptures and recognize him in the breaking of bread. Let us pray to the Lord. That God may bind up the brokenhearted, restore the sick, and raise up all who have fallen. Let us pray to the Lord. That the light of God's coming may dawn on all who live in darkness and the shadow of death. Let us pray to the Lord. That with all the saints in light, we may shine forth as lights for the world. Let us pray to the Lord. Let us commend the world, which Christ will judge, to the mercy and protection of God. Amen.
And welcome to this, the final part of our Advent trilogy. You are so welcome to our podcast this week. We're going to continue looking at Isaiah. And once more, I'm joined with Kate, Adam, Susie and Andrew. And we're going to spend some time discussing the reflection that Andrew just shared with us. So I hope that you join in with us and think about your answers to the questions as we work through these. So we've got a question to start with. Just to bring us into the place of thinking about this passage. Are you a hope full glass, half full, or glass half empty kind of person? So do you think the glass is full, or half empty? What do you reckon, Kate? What would you say?
Well, I wish I was more of a glass full kind of girl, but I mean, Adam will vouch for the fact that I can find the negative in anything at all. So yeah, my default position is to look on the bad side, and I have to be convinced that things are better than they first seem. So yeah,
it takes a bit of persuasion. So you want like evidence?
Absolutely.
Like, why is this good? Explain it to me. Come on.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay, Adam.
I like to think I've become a little bit more optimistic.
You're better than me.
Over the years. I used to be deeply pessimistic, and I felt like I was living through end times. Just that was it. But now, even if that is the case, I've got hope. So, I think differently about things now.
That's good to hear. I'm often told I am an optimistic person, but apparently that plays out that I'm always late for things because I have a sense I'm going to get there on time. Because I think that the train's going to be on time, and then I never am. That's a sign of an optimistic person.
Oh, so maybe I'm
glass half full, right?
I'm like, maybe I'm optimistic because I always think things aren't going to take me quite as long as they actually do.
See, I think that's just optimism, Susie. Don't beat yourself up.
I'm obviously optimistic.
I think I'm cheerfully half full. It's the point that I annoy people I work with sometimes that I am so optimistic. That even if I've had several church wardens who've kind of gone, God, how did you see some goodness in whatever that was that we were doing? I don't know quite where I've picked it up from. I'm sure not always that way, but generally I can see something good in almost everything.
That is a good quality to have. Find those silver linings, right?
Totally.
Useful life skill. Okay, so looking at our passage then, what gives us hope from this passage? So, Adam, can I start with you?
Well, I love the line about proclaiming liberty to the captives. Mm. And, it chimes with what Andrew was saying earlier about the fact that we're kind of freed from some of the things that plague us in our everyday lives. And certainly I think that over the years I've been kind of doom scrolling through my phone, and I've been, just addicted to the kind of fear mongering and the narratives that you see in the news media, and I mean that in itself is a form of sin. It's something where you're kind of giving in to the worst kinds of temptations, and I just have learned how to resist that recently, and it's made a huge difference to my life.
Oh, that's really good. And because sometimes it can be a spiral, can't it? Mm. Like you start reading one thing and then you click on something else and then you're suddenly down in this real pit of kind of what's going on. This all seems really tough. Yeah. So that's, I think, a really, really good point. Kate, what about you?
I think it is the passage on rebuilding the ancient ruins, restoring the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. And just the idea that even if things have been bad for a long time, that they can get better, and there's always healing that can happen. Yeah. And it might take a while, but there's healing in everything.
Yeah. So even if there has been a period when things do feel quite despairing, something good can come at the end.
And usually
it's not
going to
stay like that forever. Yeah, absolutely. Andrew?
I think for me, it's kind of all of it in that I look at this great list of things that God can do and I go, yep, he's done all of that in me. And it's that reminder of that's who he is in Jesus and that's what he can do. You know, I've been brokenhearted and been bound up. You know, like Adam was sharing, you know, I've been set free from things. I've been comforted when I've been at my lowest ebb. And I've seen that transformation that goes from mourning into praise, and not just in me, but I've seen it in other people as well. So that's the hope. Every time I read this, I go, it's that reminder of going, yeah, this is what God does. This is what he can do.
Yeah, amen to that. So the next question is, have you experienced Jesus doing some of these things in your own life? So this is thinking about for ourselves, have we seen God moving in this way in our own kind of everyday, what's been going on for us? So Adam, can I come to you first on this one?
Yeah, I mean, I'll pick up on the line in the passage where it talks about the day of vengeance of our God. And I guess on the one hand, you can think about that, or you know, external enemies, but you know what I was saying before as well, there's the sort of internal enemies, there's the inner demons, there's the sort of ongoing spiritual battle that we're all fighting. And certainly, you know, that's what I've been embarking upon. That's where I've been kind of experiencing my faith over the last year or so. And you know, as I said before, it's really can transform you.
Yeah, absolutely. And some of those things that we're kind of carrying around inside of us, we need Jesus to help us change some of those things. Because as much as we want our own will, you know, to change who, you know, those things that we're thinking or doing, sometimes we do need him and his intervention to make that happen. Okay, thank you for that. Kate?
Yeah, I think the bit for me that really stood out was the bit that says, provide for those who grieve, bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. So just the small changes that have taken place over the last couple of years in me, and how I approach that pessimistic side of myself. You know, it's very easy to get caught up in despair and anxiety and worry and fear, and you know, just having that sense of hope that there is something good coming has really helped me approach those situations differently. And so, you know, when I am in despair, I won't sort of lean on myself like I used to. I'll lean on God. And that's really transformational, because it just shows that I probably couldn't do it all myself. And when I was trying to, that's when it wasn't working very well. So, yeah, I think just lean on him and be confident that he won't let you down.
Yeah, because you can try with all your might to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. But actually... Jesus is there, and he loves us, and he wants us to lean on him in his strength rather than ours. Thank you. Susie?
I have to say, for me, it is that element of to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. There's part of me that, although apparently I'm optimistic, can focus on the negative, and I will often focus on my own weaknesses and negative characteristics, but actually that reminder that God sees us as beautiful sons and daughters. And recently God really gave me this powerful word about being a swan and not an ugly duckling, because I'd focused so much on my negative things that I'd lost sight of how God viewed me. And so that image of a swan, of something that is beautiful and strong with God, we can be so much more than we believe we can be. And God sees us as, yeah, amazing sons and daughters that can do amazing things.
And that whole approach to trying to see ourselves through God's eyes is really important, isn't it? So not through necessarily our own or what other people might say to us, but what he's seeing.
Yeah.
That's who we are, right? That's our identity. Amazing. So the next question then, so the passage starts off, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me. And then in lots of different things, so to proclaim good news to the poor, set me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom for the captives, release from darkness for the prisoners, etc., etc. Amazing things. How do you feel that you are also anointed and called to do some of these same things? That's what we're going to look at now. Kate, can I ask you?
Yeah, sure. I think for me it's interesting because, you know, I'm quite new in my journey to faith and I feel like a bit of an imposter when I try and do some of these things because it just feels like, you know, who am I to be anointed to do any of this stuff because it's so groundbreaking, it's so important. And then I step back from it and go, well, why not me? Why not where I am right now? God's met me here where I am and he's continuing to work within me. So, you know, I don't know exactly what I'll be called to do, but I definitely feel some sense of calling to do something in the future.
And I guess it's one thing we see from the Bible, isn't it? That the people God calls are all different and from all different places and he uses everyone, right?
Yeah.
Thank you. Adam?
Yeah, I mean, again, being sort of early in my faith journey, I'm still a bit suspicious of myself being a proselytizer. I don't know whether that's what I can do yet. But I think it's more to do with the little things and the changes within me and the way that I am as a person, sort of demonstrating God's love and therefore. You know, it's in what I do and what I say that and in my daily interactions and my daily business that really makes a difference.
Yeah. So some of these things in this passage, they sound almost like they're really grand and huge, right? These big statements that are being made in beautiful language, which is lovely to read. But I guess there's a risk that can make us feel a bit intimidated. But it's the everyday things. It's the smiling at someone, the saying hello, they're just taking care, being kind, all of those everyday things are part of this being called and being anointed. Yeah. Okay. Susie?
I think for me, it is those moments of slowing down to see the person that's right in front of you. Engaging with the person that God has presented to you, wherever you are, the person you've got a meeting with, the child you're teaching or the child you're looking after, actually in that moment, how do I serve that person? How do I care for that person in the way that Jesus calls each and every one of us to serve them, but in the way that he loved and cared for everybody from those on the fringes through to those in power? Jesus had relationship with them during his life in different ways, but how am I that person to them?
So being present in the moment and actually seeing whoever's in front of you and thinking about what Jesus is saying to you about that interaction.
And seeing them as a child of God.
Yeah.
So they are precious to God, therefore they need to be precious to me.
Yeah. Beautiful, thank you. And Andrew?
Yeah, I mean, this text is such a personal one for me in that it's the text that God really first called me to explore ordained ministry through. Like, I don't have any tattoos, but if I were to choose something to have tattooed on my body, it would be some of these words because they've kind of had such a huge impact on my life. And I think that idea that God can call any of us, because, you know, I didn't feel equipped to do any of these things. I remember this text followed me around for months, and it's often read at ordinations. I had no idea of that, of course, when I first read it. And that idea of being called and sent to do all these things, and as I say, I didn't feel equipped to do any of them, but learning that it's that anointing by the Holy Spirit that actually enables us to do those things. And it's not about necessarily being perfect, but it's about being that work in progress. And again, we've sort of touched on the thing about the rebuilding of the ancient ruins, and it's not about whether you're ruined or perfect, but it's the fact that you're a rebuilding project in process. And we got a mutual friend of ours who often shares that idea. He said when he became a Christian, it was like God put scaffolding up around him,
yeah,
and he became a work in progress, and gradually the scaffolding was coming down. So yeah, for me, it kind of just takes me back to that first calling to the job that I now do with God. It's a text I come back to often, and it made me smile when it happened to be in the lectionary. I said to Alison, I was like, I really like to do the reflection on that one. I hope that's all right.
And it's worked really well.
She was very gracious.
No, it's been great. And I think it's just really helpful to hear the different ways in which God can anoint us, because it's different for all of us. And because we're all unique, we're all children of God, and he knows us and he knows what he's called us to. So thank you for all of those.
And actually, the only thing I'd add is, I know Adam and Kate said, oh, you know, beginning of faith, but I was in exactly that place when I heard these.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we think we have to be in a certain place before God will speak to us. But actually, I think I wish I could travel back in time, because it was almost easier to hear God at that point. It kind of gets more noisy as the word goes on. So.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, God speaks to us in different ways at different times, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you heard him then. Okay, so final question then is, what's our main takeaway from the passage? So what's the one thing that we would say, yes, this is what I'm going to remember from this passage, this reflection, this conversation? So Kate, I'm going to start with you.
Sure. I think for me, it's be more glass full. So the bit about a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. So in those dark moments, looking for the good and praising God, no matter how dark and bad things feel in that moment, because there will be a way through and he won't leave me.
Yeah. So him being constant is greater than anything else that could be happening around us, right?
Exactly.
That consistency. Adam?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to the line that both Kate and Andrew have already referred to, which is repairing the ruined cities, because it's just, I mean, the word ruined and repair, you know, you think things are ruined beyond repair.
Yeah.
And so it's such a big undertaking that's being promised here. And it suggests that nothing and no one is beyond repair. No one's beyond redemption, and that the love can repair anything.
Yeah, and sometimes we feel that actually we're so broken, no one can ever sort us out. We're never going to be able to put it back together, but actually God can.
Yeah.
And he says here really clearly that he will do that. So thank you. Susie?
For me, it's that bit that says... about a garment of praise instead of despair, that sense of putting on a desire to praise God in all situations, even when things are really hard, making that decision to go, actually, I'm going to praise God now, even if I'm not in the mood, I'm not feeling it, I'm still going to worship him and thank him for what he's done.
Yeah.
And I think I need to remind myself of that a bit more.
Yeah, and that's intentional, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's the moment we have to choose to do it, because God's good all the time.
Indeed.
All the time, whatever's going on around us.
Yeah.
Andrew?
I want to endorse everything Adam said and more. I'm just like, if you relate to any of the conditions in this passage, then Jesus has got your back on this.
Mm.
And that transformation that we've sort of spoken about as we've recorded this, that's right there for the taking, folks. And that's the hope we have in Jesus, is that he really can do these things and really can make that difference. Mm. And that's for everyone. As people who are, you know, post-Pentecost people, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, the Spirit of the Lord God is available to all of us.
Mm.
Any one of us listening to this can be anointed and called, can be rebuilt, can be comforted. That's just, you know, that's how far Jesus' reach goes.
And I hope that in listening to this conversation, you can hear that we're all like regular people. We're not special because we're doing this podcast, and the work that Jesus has done in our lives can happen in any. And we just pray that people listening to this would really dig into what we've said, dig into this passage, and think about what that might mean for them. So we've come to the end of our 3 Advent podcast episodes. So thanks so much to Kate and Adam and Susie and Andrew, and also to Anthony for all of his help with this. We're going to finish with a time of prayer. If you haven't already listened to episodes 1 and 2, please do go back and catch up on those, and hopefully you'll be able to take something from each one. If you would like to come along to any of the Christmas services at St Mary's, please have a look on the website. There's more details there. We would love to see you, and please do come and chat to us if you see us. So Andrew, I'll hand over to you to close us off.
Thank you, Alison. Heavenly Father, thank you for this 3-week journey we've been on through the prophet Isaiah, as we've explored some of your great promises, the themes of hope, restoration, redemption, that all come to fruition in your Son. Thank you, Lord, for the reminder that you can work and anoint and work in and through any of us, that you can do incredible things in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you call us when we feel least qualified to go and do great things in your name. And Lord, I pray that for us as a church community and for all that listen to this, that we might be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, who display and reflect his glory here in Hanwell or wherever we are listening to this podcast. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.